Holy Spirit, stay with us now as we seek to understand your scriptures. Amen. The story of Moses and the burning bush is cinematic. It's dramatic enough to stand by itself, I think, but really, it's just a short scene in a much bigger plot. By the time Moses came along, the Israelites had been in exile for about 4 centuries, suffering under oppression in Egypt. And Moses' story today unfolds during the Egyptian genocide, where we are told that Pharaoh had ordered every single Hebrew boy to be thrown into the Nile River. This was the story that's framing the episode of the burning bush that our hero today could not stay away from. Every week on Wednesdays, the preschoolers at St. Paul's come into the sanctuary for a chapel service. And last week, the children learned about this story of the burning bush. And the kids thought it was so cool that the bush was on fire, but that it didn't burn up. They thought it was so cool that we didn't really get past the fact that the bush was on fire. And it is so cool. Through those flames, God said to Moses, "I've truly seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. I've heard them cry because of their oppressors. I know their pain, and I've come down to deliver them." In that flaming bush, God came down, all the way down to the ground. And it's from the ground, from the earth, that God enters into unlimited engagement with humankind. But first things first, God says to Moses, "Take off your shoes, Moses, because the place on which you're standing is holy ground." Now, in Moses' world, just as it is in many parts of the world today, taking off one's shoes is a sign of respect. Our equivalent today might be taking off our hat or taking out our earphones when we're talking to someone. But for Moses, there was something more. God wanted to be in touch with Moses, to have him get rid of that barrier between the bottoms of his feet and the earth. It was like God was saying, "Dig your feet in and see that I'm right here on the ground in front of you." So Moses kicked his sandals aside, and in that moment, Moses released himself from striving for success or status or safety. When Moses took off his shoes, he found his true footing. And under his bare feet, he could feel the stuff that he was made out of. I hear that echo from our Ash Wednesday service, those powerful words. "Remember that thou art but dust, and to dust thou shalt return." Now, it's not like Moses was standing in a particularly beautiful place. We learn that Moses is standing at Horeb, or the mountain of God, but it wasn't a beautiful place or a shrine. In Hebrew, Horeb is translated into desert. It's a desert place. And there's also slang for Horeb, which is waste place or wasteland. The point is that Moses' encounter with God, it was holy, but it took place in the middle of everyday life. The ground was holy because God was there with him. Holy ground is anywhere that God is. And in taking his shoes off, Moses was grounded in the reality that God has access to anywhere. I love the term "grounded" used to describe someone as a compliment. We might say someone is grounded if we think of them as being down to earth or in touch with reality. I think of grounded people who aren't going to change their core values because the ground underneath their feet is shaking, so to speak. To be grounded is to be assured about who we are at our core, at our very core. A lot of us have lost touch with people over the last 2 years. I know that our household definitely has. And the term "losing touch," it's a saying that has a literal meaning. It's when we lose touch, it's because our feet probably haven't been in the same place at the same time. A lot of us have become untethered from these really important physical places in our lives. But come back with me to Moses for a second. With the desert under his feet and the heat from those flames on his skin, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. But nevertheless, God said, "I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt to the land of milk and honey, and I will be with you." The story of the burning bush is a spectacular story. And the preschoolers are absolutely right. It's very cool that the bush was on fire, but it didn't burn up. But the coolest part is that God came down to earth, to the desert or the wasteland, to engage with and rescue people who needed God the most. And this was just the start. God continued this in Jesus. And by the movement of the Holy Spirit, the places that seem the most God-forsaken have continued to serve as holy ground into modernity and in our world today. Some ordinary examples, ordinary and extraordinary examples that came to mind for me were the floor of a city bus in 1955 in Montgomery, Alabama, underneath the feet of Rosa Parks when she said, "No, I'm not moving to the back of that bus." I think of the streets of the city of Kiev that have become holy ground where thousands of Ukrainians, doctors, nurses, plumbers, and journalists have stayed behind to resist evil. And then there are the less cinematic moments in our daily lives when we might be standing on holy ground, and a lot of times probably not even realizing it. And even if we do realize it, there's a good chance that only we and God might know the ground underneath our feet is holy. By gathering here this morning, on this gorgeous Sunday morning, we're staying in touch with each other and with the reality that we are present with a God who came all the way down to the ground to rescue the Israelites once through Moses. And this was the start of God's unlimited engagement with human suffering. And we're staying grounded in a God who came down again in the body of Mary, this time not just to save the Israelites, but to save the entire world. Thanks be to God.